It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we have a panel of guests joining us in studio from CAL FIRE, the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office, and the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services. They came in to provide some new information about changes in the Motherlode this year when it comes to things like debris pile burning, road and infrastructure safety during the winter months, tree mortality efforts, and other timely topics as we head into the heart of the winter season, the first day of winter coming up on December 21st. Joining us in studio is Paul Avila. He is the Assistant Unit Fire Chief for CAL FIRE's Tuolumne Calaveras Unit, Lieutenant Eric Earhart with the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office, and Ethan Billigmeyer with the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services. So first off, thank you all for coming in, and welcome to Motherlode Views.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
I'll start first with Chief Avila. The one thing I want to ask you about is this time of year, we're getting a lot more burning and burn permits and that type of thing. So if you can kind of explain just, you know, the differences between, you know, why a certain time of year permits are needed as opposed to not.
Okay. Well, I'll start off with the basically, Tuolumne Calaveras Unit has implemented a new elevation-based burning requirements. New burn permits will be reflect zoned. We're going to a zone burning, zone one and zone two. Zone one is below 3,500 feet in elevation, and then zone two would be above 3,500 feet in elevation. If you have a previously issued burn permit, they are valid. We just ask that you you need to call the air pollution control and determine if it's a burn day or not, and also if you're in the zone one or zone two. And you could stop by any CAL FIRE station, and they could help you out in determining your elevation of your residence. Also, you could look online, and usually Google Earth would be able to allow you to find that as well.
So during the winter months here, upcoming, theoretically, different elevations could be at different yes and no on the burn day status?
That's correct. So the dooryard burning, you know, we asked that it's it's required to have, it's a 4x4 pile, I mean, four feet in diameter, 4 feet high, need to have a 10-foot clearance of bare minimal soil. Additionally, you have to have a water source, as well as a shovel, and it needs to be in attendance by an adult. So with the zone burning, there will be times that citizens that live above 3,500 foot in elevation will be allowed to burn, whereas individuals that are below the 3,500 feet in zone one will not be able to burn. That would be, say, in the springtime when the grass starts to dry out. As the grass dries out, it becomes more receptive to wildland fires. So in order to help the residents in the higher elevations that are still able to burn, you know, they'd be able to burn, and the ones lower wouldn't. The fuels in the higher elevations naturally dry out a little longer and slower than in the lower elevations. Just to help out the community, we came up with some landmarks that identify the roughly the 3,500 foot transition. Going up Highway 120, 3,500 feet is just about at Cherry Lake Road. On Highway 108, it's the west entrance to Twinehart. On Highway 4, 3,500-foot elevation mark is east of Avery. And on Highway 26, the 3,500-foot mark is right at about Lily Valley Subdivision out Winton Road.
Yeah, those are good points. I know people have been asking where exactly are those cutoffs, so that's good to know. So during the wet winter months, it's unlikely that it'll be kind of a on-off type thing, but more the springtime, you're saying, when really have to keep an eye on that?
Yeah, this will help us in our transition periods, when we transition from winter preparedness into summer preparedness, also known as our fire season, and then we transition from summer preparedness into winter preparedness, such as today.
What kind of training then goes on for firefighters in the off-season?
We have two different types of training. We'll start with our recert training. That'd be our returning firefighters. They go through a week-long training, and they recert in their Title 8 and Title 22 leave training. They'll do their hazmat training. They show proficiency in fire shelters, self-contained breathing apparatus, ladders, hose lays. It's basically to get them back up to speed from if they were off for a short period for school. And then we have our new hire training. Our new hires receive a 179 hours of training, and that's put on over a two-week period. And then from that point, they're good to go.
Again, we're talking about several issues on this weekend's Mother Load Views. Anything else that people need to keep in mind when they're out burning, or things that can stop those fires from getting out of control?
You know, again, we asked that, you know, you need to maintain control of your fires at all time. You know, if a fire escapes your control, you can be held civilly or criminally liable. This past weekend, we had a fire that burned roughly 5 to 6 acres. That was an escape, you know, control burn from a pile.
Besides burn piles, what are some of the other common causes of fires during the winter months that you notice?
You know, one item we see is the discarding of hot ashes from fireplaces. We ask that when you discard your ashes, put them in a metal bucket, put them away from any kind of structure improvements on your property. If you dump them in a pile, it'd be no different than having a burn pile. You know, have at least 10 foot of clearance, bare minimum soil, put them out, spread them out, and, you know, put some water on it.
Are flue fires a big concern this time of year?
It is. Flue fires, we respond to actually flue fires quite often. They can be avoided. We ask that as a good practice, maybe clean your chimneys once a year. You know, whether you do it or you have a company come out and do it, it's a simple maintenance, you know, for your chimney system that can prevent damage. We're all risk. Cal Fire is an all-risk fire department. We see every type of fire, structure fire, vehicle fire, vegetation fire. The causes, you know, early season, which we've seen from about last month and continuing through today, is escape control burns. That's our number one, probably our number one cause fire right now is escape control burn. Summer months, though, it could be anywhere from a vehicle dragging a chain, exhaust, carbon, material coming out of the exhaust, brakes, or just accidental.
With the holiday season, do you sometimes see a little bit of an increase in fires when people get together, cook, and all that type of thing?
You know, I don't have the statistics, you know, locally. We do see, you know, definitely as we see people getting together during the holiday months, the weather's changing. You know, rain, snow, more people on the highway. We do see, you know, increase in vehicle accidents.
Kind of transitions into another topic. Lieutenant Eric Earhart with the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office. It's been pretty dry so far this season, but it will be wet, as we know, as we get into the heart of the winter months. So what advice do you have for people as you look ahead and get ready for those conditions?
As we start heading into the wetter months, obviously we recommend you take more time to get to your destination. You know, slow down. Only drive as far as you can see, obviously. So if there's heavy rain, be sure to slow down for that as well. And it's always good, you know, keep your chains with you if you're heading up the hill. And make sure you got some good tires on your car as well.
And then this time of year, do you see once the snow really starts to hit, you know, do you have any tips for people just to keep their property safe, especially, you know, vacation cabins and so forth?
If you can, keep the driveway shoveled, or, you know, even have a neighbor drive in and out of the driveway, make it look like somebody's there. Make sure you keep some lights on so that way your neighbors and passerbyers can see your front yard and see if anybody's around your house as well.
When it comes to spin outs and that type of thing, are there certain areas of the county that you see more and more of those type of things compared to others?
Not necessarily. I mean, on steeper grades, you know, such like Crystal Falls Drive, parts of Phoenix Lake Road, when snow starts hitting on those things, it can be challenging. And, you know, we always recommend if you don't have to go somewhere, don't stay at home. If you see a storm come in, see if you can't wait it out until before you actually get on the road and start driving.
Ethan Billigmeyer with the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services. I know as soon as we have those big power outages that always come every single winter, your OES office is very active, you know, communicating with PG&E and so forth. So from that perspective, what do people really need to keep in mind when it comes to losing electricity?
As most people know that have lived here for a number of years, we usually do lose power multiple times during the winter, just due to storms or things like that. So, really, from the Office of Emergency Services standpoint, we just want to remind residents, to plan ahead by building a disaster kit, making sure that they have batteries, flashlight, battery-operated radio, extra batteries, at least 3 days worth of medications if they have any medications that they have to take on a continual basis, also if they're looking, if it's a winter storm type of event, and additionally we recommend people. Make a communications plan to keep in contact with loved ones, with family. Know where, if people do get separated somehow, knowing where to meet, if they have a predetermined area to meet in. And like Lieutenant Earhart said, if we encourage people, if they don't have to go anywhere, then definitely, stay home and wait it out if you can. We encourage people, pay attention to the news, to the weather forecast. If you see, if they're talking about a big storm coming up and there is a potential that storm could, could cause problems with getting in and out of the home or losing power, we just, want people to make sure that they plan ahead. And if they need to get a refill on their prescriptions or anything like that, that they do so ahead of time so they don't have to go try to get out during the storm. And additionally, with one thing I did neglect to mention, it's, people with pets, make sure that, you have access, have more than enough pet food on hand and water for them as well.
We need to take a quick break on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're joined in studio by Paul Avila, who is the Assistant Unit Fire Chief for CAL FIRE, Lieutenant Eric Earhart with the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office, and Ethan Billigmeyer with the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services. A programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we'll be joined in studio by Daryl Slocum, the Executive Director of the Sonora Area Foundation. He recently celebrated his one-year anniversary as the head of the organization, and they have some exciting announcements coming up next week as it pertains to local grant giving in the community. You'll want to tune in. Again, that's next week on Motherlode Views with Daryl Slocum of the Sonora Area Foundation. We'll continue with our second segment of Motherlode Views coming up in just a minute.